This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
Surprise when we suffer persecution and trials and tribulation. Our natural approach is to think that it's strange, it's unnormal. Why am I going through this trial? And that will be accompanied by the questions that everybody will ask: why me? Why is this happening to me? God, why are you allowing me to go through this? The question we should ask after we finish all those questions: say, why not me? Why not you?
In today's message, Pastor Eddie reminds you that suffering on account of your faith in Jesus isn't just normal, it's something to be expected. You may not suffer the same persecution that the early church did, but you will be subject to suffering on earth either way. But be of good cheer, because God is on your side, and He will not let you suffer forever. By enduring through the suffering, your endurance and your faith will become stronger. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. As he begins his message, Suffering for God's Glory.
First Peter chapter 4, let's look at verse 12. Peter writes, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief, an evildoer or a busybody in other people's matter. Yet, if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." Now, quite often, when it comes to Christianity, Christianity is often presented at only one part. They only give you one side of Christianity. And it's true, you know, the good part, the great part that we would say good. But when we surrender our lives to Christ and we're born again spiritually, we have been forgiven of our sins. We become one with God, the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. We receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, and we are given eternal life. Therefore, we have a glorious relationship with God. And because of that, He is our protector, our provider, our sustainer, and our helper in this life. However, that's only half the story. For you see, believers in Christ, we are called to suffer for Christ. That's kind of foreign to some Christians. That's kind of foreign to the world. Because when we come to Christ, it really is, we only come to God for help. We only want the benefits of God, but we really don't truly want a relationship with God. And so the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church of Philippi, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 29, he said, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Wow. Quite often, we like the believing part, but you don't hear too much from the TV evangelists, the prosperity teachers, that you have to suffer for Christ's sake. But that's exactly the other half of Christianity. We're called to suffer. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, suffered. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, verse 20. He says, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they might. No, they will also persecute you. Also in the Gospel of John, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. And these are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only the Apostle Peter, Jesus Christ, but even the Apostle Paul. Also the Apostle Paul wrote this. When his second letter to Timothy, he wrote this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. He said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And that's just having a desire. Those who have a desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so this is the other side of Christianity that many do not teach or understand. And I think part of it has to do because of the fact in the time when Peter wrote this epistle almost 2,000 years ago, as he's putting pen to papyrus, as he's writing this, the church was being persecuted by Nero Caesar. Christians were tied up to a pole and pitch tar was thrown in their body and they were burned alive. And so when it comes to suffering, I don't think the church today has any idea of what suffering is. But suffering comes in many forms, not so much physical, but also tribulation, you know, trouble, you know, with family and friends and coworkers or whatever it is that the enemy wants to do just to distract you. Suffering is a part of the life of a Christian. It's part of the true follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. And so suffering is something that a Christian should expect to face and not escape. We are to expect it. Running away from it is not going to help. It's going to follow you. But Christ will help us. And there's good news in this. So don't say, hey, I don't want to come to church anymore. It's not a popular message. How many likes to suffer? I don't think so. I doubt very much. Now, the Apostle Peter continues to write in this area of suffering. And in the passage before, he's going to encourage us and instruct us to suffer for the glory of God. Suffer for the glory of God. So we're suffering that glorifies God. And God uses, believe it or not, he uses the suffering for his glory, for his purpose. Now you may say, that's kind of weird. No, it's not. Because the perfect example is that God used the suffering of his son, Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross to die. And with that suffering, if it wasn't for that suffering that Christ suffered on the cross, you and I would have no way to escape hell. You and I have no way to be right before God. You and I have no way to have eternal life through Jesus Christ in heaven. And so the suffering is important. It does a lot for us, believe it or not. It could either make you or it could either break you. And so suffering, not only does it helps us, it builds us up, it tests us, it tries us, but also it glorifies God at the same time. And so for those of you who are taking notes, we're going to look at five things in our study. Five things in verses 12 through 19. Five practical instructions in suffering for God's glory. Five things in suffering for God's glory. So we read the text. Let us now look at the text verse by verse. Number one, he says, do not think it strange. Number one, do not think it strange. Look at verse 12. He begins with the word beloved. When he says beloved, he is speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to non-Christians. He's speaking about those who surrender their lives to Christ. He's talking about Christians who are suffering. He says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. In other words, don't be surprised when you go through trials and tribulations. Don't be surprised. When we suffer persecution and trials and tribulation, our natural approach is to think that it's strange. It's unnormal. Why am I going through this trial? And that will be accompanied by the questions that everybody will ask. Why me? Why is this happening to me? God, why are you allowing me to go through this? The question we should ask after we finish all those questions, say, why not me? Why not you? But the reason is there are many who have died in many men and women throughout scriptures in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament that have suffered for their faith. Suffered so much that they were beheaded. They were even killed for their faith. Our Lord and Savior, again, perfect example, he died for salvation. And so suffering does a lot for us. And as we sit here today, do not think that everything is going well. As we sit here, listen, right now, as we sit here, there are Christians that are being persecuted for their faith in other countries where they're not allowed to be Christians, where they can't even have a Bible, they can't even assemble. We have it so good that we forget that Christians are really suffering. We're in another world. And we don't realize there's another world, another part of the world, that there are Christians who are suffering. And so here Peter is encouraging us. It's a term of endearment. Beloved, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange when you go through persecution. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. All right. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. He says, no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourself know that we are appointed to this. You're appointed to suffer. That's the other part of Christianity that is not really taught. Verse 4, for in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation. We will suffer tribulation. Now, let's look at this word in the Greek. The Greek words, we have the words fiery trial is a single word in the Greek, and it's pyrosi, and it means a burning. That's what it means, a burning. It's the burning of which metals are roasted and reduced. But it's been used as a metaphor. It's been used as a metaphor as far as the Old Testament to describe one who's experiencing an agonizing burning with fire, and that is what the trials and tribulation. And so the picture is this, just as fire burns away all the dross and all the impurities of metals, so too with us spiritually. That's what fiery trials does for us, the believer in Christ. It's burning off the sin, the impurities in our lives. And you may say, how is that? Well, because what happens when we do suffer? Quite often, and hopefully you do this, you don't run to your friend, you don't call someone, you don't go to Oprah Winfrey, that's for sure. You don't go to, who's the other doctor? Forget about it. Yeah, I'm not going to promote them. But, you know, you come to God. You come to God. You go to him, and during that time when you're suffering, you get on your knees or you seek, you close yourself in a room and just focus on the Lord, and you're just praying, and that's what that does. In the same way with gold, when they were to burn gold, and they were burning until all the dross and all the impurities is falls off, and what's left is nothing but pure gold. That is exactly what happens to a believer in Jesus Christ. When you're going through trials and tribulation, you are being purified unto his pure. All the dross, all the sin in your life is being brushed off. As a matter of fact, Peter, when the beginning of this letter, back in chapter 1, he refers to this as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6, 7. He said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, that's what happens, your faith is being tested, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, here's what happens to your faith, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when we, as believers in Christ, when we suffer persecution, trials, and tribulations, what happens is that the Lord uses that to burn off the dross. And what happens is now he uses it to test us, to try us, and to prove us. I don't know if you probably heard the phrase that experience is the best teacher. And that's what happens when you go through experience in life. I know that my approach and my attitude towards my trials and tribulation now in my early 20s, just kidding. No, can't lie in church. All right, I'm in 50-something. All right? And so I know that the way I handle and approach trials and tribulations differently when I was in my preteens and teens and in my 20s and my 30s, okay? I know it's different. Why? Experience. What does that do? Well, not only it makes you stronger. It makes you stronger because as we deal with the small stuff, but we don't run away from it, we allow God to use that for his glory and use it where we're being tested, we're being tried, we're being proved, and it makes you stronger. So when the next trials and tribulation come, it's much more, I won't say it's going to be completely easy, but you're able to deal with it. And that's what happens in the process as you grow in faith and you grow in the Lord. When you go through fiery trials, God is working in your life. He's working in your life. He's building up your faith as well. He's building up the faith in your life. And so this is what the fiery trial does. As you're being tested through the fire, it proves your true character, who you are in Christ. It clears away the dross of sin and strengthens your faith. It allows the pure nature of Christ to be shown in your lives. And so we use that metaphor that we're just like that metal or that gold that's being pured. And this is what old Job said. Remember, go all the way back to the book of Job. Job was one, if you ever read his story, great story, he lost everything. He lost his cattle, his business. He lost his land, his property. He lost his children. All he was left with is boils all over his body. And his wife, go figure. Just kidding. His wife said, curse God. She was no help. Poor Job. I think the wife was the biggest challenge, but nonetheless, just kidding. Not my wife. I got to straighten that out right now. Just. But think about Job, all that he went through. He lost everything. This is what he said in Job chapter 23, verse 10. When he, speaking of the Lord, has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. So this metaphor of going through fiery trials and being refined by the fire, it's been used ancient times, thousands of years. And so that's the so true is for the life of a Christian. Someone once said, Christians are like tea. Their real strength doesn't come out until they get in hot water. And it's true. That's where you see all the, you know, you get the benefits of the tea as it steeps for 5, 10, whatever, how long it takes, depending on the tea. But that's what happens. And so as believers in Christ, we come out this fiery trial, pure from all impurities, from all of the dross, but also we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. And so there is a blessing when we go through trials and tribulations. And so as Peter said in, what verse is that? Let's go back, 12. Yeah. And he says, drop down to verse 14. It says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Blessed are you. So there is a blessing when we suffer persecution. And so, saints, the first thing he gives us, the first instruction, number one, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. And number two, here's the second one. If you think the first one was hard, imagine the second one. Number two, it says rejoice in suffering. Rejoice in suffering. How many of us rejoice in suffering? Yeah. If anybody raised their hands, I got to have to see you after church, but let's read, and that's in verses 13 and 14. Let's read verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. So not only are we not to be surprised when we go to fiery trials, but we are to rejoice. Why? Because you partake of Christ's suffering. You become one with Christ, with his suffering, you see. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, again, he said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And so this is the encouragement throughout the scriptures. As a matter of fact, Peter is not the only one instructing us to rejoice and be happy when we go through trials and tribulations. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes this. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, he writes this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing," here it is, "that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You get the idea that we should take advantage when we go through trials and tribulation. And the reason why we rejoice is because we have faith in Christ. And we know that God would use it for his glory. And God would use it for us to even grow in our faith. And we benefit from it because of Christ. Now, Paul also rejoiced when Paul wrote this. And now, I encourage you, if you feel like you need to rejoice, you need to be happy, and we're living in times, I don't know if COVID had anything to do with it, but since then, this world, it's the people are suffering from anxiety and depression. But I encourage you to read the book of Philippians. It's only four chapters. That's it. Four chapters. And if you read it again. The reason why I encourage you to read that book is the book of Philippians is known as the book of joy. The book of joy, because you find 19 references of joy in the book of Philippians. But what's really interesting about it is that Paul the Apostle wrote it when he was in prison. He was in prison and he had four chapters to write about joy. I don't know, that would be chapter 1, verse 1. "It smells in here." That would be me. I would say, "Oh, why me? Oh, what's going on outside?" He wrote four chapters about joy, 19 references. But we know this verse. You probably sang this song at Sunday school growing up in church. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Okay? How many would like to rejoice in suffering? Okay, you don't got it yet, but we'll get there. And so it is obviously difficult to rejoice when we're suffering. However, if you understand what's behind the scenes, if you will, if you understand how mighty and powerful God is, the God that we serve, okay? And I don't have it up there, but I'll read it for you. And many of you who are students of the Word, and you know this passage of Scripture, and it says in verse 28, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, this is what Paul wrote to the church of Rome. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." All things work together for good for those who love God. Now, the word all, the word all in the Greek, in the English, it means all. It means everything. I just want you to know that. It means everything. It's not some of the things, but it says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. All things work together. And so we looked at it, how do we rejoice, and why should we rejoice? I'm going to give you two reasons. There are many reasons why we should rejoice. I just want to give you two for the sake of time. Reason number one, when we suffer for Christ and with Christ, it draws us into a deeper, intimate relationship with Christ.
Thank you for taking time today to listen to Running the Race with Pastor Eddie. Pastor Eddie's been pulling practical truths from the book of 1 Peter. This is the book to read if you're feeling discouraged about an unfair situation you've experienced. It's the book to read if you need to know you're not alone in that frustrating and hard circumstance. Pushing through these kinds of times isn't always easy, but it is worth it. If you find yourself in a place today where you need prayer, please contact us at runningtheraceradio.com. and click back to the homepage. Once you've done that, you'll find a form under the Contact tab. Simply fill it out with your prayer request and click Send. This is a safe and confidential way for us to know how to pray for you. Running the Race is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Milford. Here's Jessica to tell you more about how you can partner with us.
Prayers for this ministry would be so appreciated. The opportunity for the lost to be reached over the radio is incredible. So please pray for our listening audience, and that what's shared will alter people's lives forever. Another way you can support us is by prayerfully considering giving in a financial way. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into producing this program, and we're grateful for all who are willing to come alongside us to support the creation of each program. If you feel led to do this, you can find a Give tab at runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. Donations of any size are always used by God. Be sure to come back again for more on Running the Race.